Recruiting and athletic scholarships from a college coach's perspective. I got an exclusive interview coming up next on the Athletic Scholarship Podcast, episode number 4. Hello, I'm John Fugler, CEO of RecruitMe. Been helping families navigate the scholarship road, well, since 2002. It's been quite a journey. And I'm so glad you tuned in. Make sure you tell your friends as well, and they can benefit from this podcast, especially this episode. Pretty exciting, because I've got for you an exclusive interview with a college coach who's been at this for 20 years at some major programs, and he's got some insights to share with us today on this episode. So I think you'll like that. I just want to let you know that I believe that every qualified student athlete, academically and athletically, who can compete at the next level deserves an athletic scholarship. And I want to help you navigate that road and get it. Plain and simple as that. That's why I do this. That's why I've been at it for nearly 15 years, helping families, helping student athletes and parents get through this. I'll tell you, there's so much information out there online. You've got books that have been written. You've got white papers. You've got guides. You've got people telling you this and that, and you're wondering what in the world is true and how do I put it all together? And that's why we systematized it at RecruitMe. And I love going through the step-by-step process with student athletes and with parents. This podcast, especially for parents, as you lead the way with your son or daughter. There are other resources I want to make available to you. You may be familiar with. I blog each week. I pick something that is kind of something that you can apply immediately, something practical in this whole scholarship effort, this whole recruiting effort. So each week on my blog at recruitme.com. Also have the free mini course. It's a video mini course, 3 parts. I put that together and have had many families already go through that. Just opened that, I think, about 3 months ago. So you can find that on my website. You go to recruitme.com and click mini course. Want to make that available to you. Also, have the Athletic Scholarship University. The winter enrollment starts in January. It's closed right now, so get ready for that complete, full, step-by-step, in-depth opportunity for you. And we'll tell you more about that. You can see details, again, on the website for Athletic Scholarship University. Get ready to start a Facebook group. I realize it's important for parents and athletes to be talking to each other as you go through this journey. And it's also a way for me to be able to get involved as well with more families. So that Facebook group will be opening up. And, of course, there's the RecruitMe membership, step-by-step to an athletic scholarship. You can see that on my website. Check that out, recruitme.com. for the membership. And if you have a question, I welcome your questions. Email me at john@recruitme.com. John, J-O-N, at recruit-me.com. There's also a link in the show notes here. This episode I've set aside to be able to give you a fresh perspective. Perspective of a college coach, because isn't that whom you're trying to impress? You got to know what these coaches are thinking in this whole recruiting process. I know that we have our ideas as parents. We have our ideas as athletes, and I have my ideas as one who coaches parents and athletes. But what are the coaches thinking? Well, we're going to hear from somebody who has been at this for 2 decades, and he has a lot to share with us. Speaking of sharing, if you find this episode helpful, please share it with your friends. I want to help as many people as we can. Tom Kunis has coached college baseball for 2 decades at some of the top programs in the nation, including Stanford and Cal Poly. He's an expert recruiter. He knows how to spot talent. In fact, he's had over 50 of his athletes drafted and move on to professional baseball. So Tom knows how to spot kids that possess some of the intangibles. And he'll talk about these important qualities during the interview. You may not hear these anywhere else, but we're really digging in with Tom. He's such a good spotter of talent that he was recently hired as a major league scout. So he's transitioned from college to the major leagues. And I caught him just a few weeks before he made that change to share some things with us. We'll be talking about how recruiting has changed in the past 10 years, how high school coaches can be a big part of the recruiting process, how to approach college coaches, and the most important advice he can give parents and athletes. Now, I might add that Tom had a great impact on my twin sons. Before they started high school, even, he gave them some pitching instruction that stayed with them through their college careers. It feels like yesterday, but it was a while ago. College coaches are hard to get a hold of, so I managed to catch Tom by phone, and we went for it. So let's hear from a college coach who shares his 20 years of recruiting experience with us.
Hey, Tom, you've been in recruiting now for a couple decades, and actually more than that, because you've been in coaching a lot more than that, a lot longer. And I know that coaching the team and doing your job on the field is only part of it. You've got to continue to bring in good talent. I know parents and athletes hear a whole lot about recruiting from me and from others, but they really need to hear what college coaches are thinking. And so you've been doing this for a while, and I want to get into some issues here and some questions that parents and kids are asking. But one that I think is really critical is how has recruiting changed in the past 10 years or so from the time when my twin sons were coming along to now? What are you seeing of the big changes?
Well, you know, John, that's a good question because, first of all, you know, the obvious thing to say would be technology, right? You've got this much more broader sense of connection nationally, internationally, and it's so real-time connected that, you know, you can get to a lot of people and get a lot of information very quickly. But I think the most important aspect of change in the last 10 years has been the commitments, the early commitments, and they're getting earlier. And I think that, you know, a lot of these kids feel a lot of pressure to somehow get a commitment or get a verbal from a university so that they don't feel like they're out of the loop.
Well, the verbal commitment, as far as I know, that's not binding, right? It's only when it's a signed offer and a signed commitment all in writing. Isn't that true?
That is absolutely true. And that's where I think the rub is. I think we're going in the wrong direction when, you know, we get these verbal commitments, which I think are really one-sided. It's very much in favor of the university and the program that a young man is verbally committed to. And yes, of course, student athlete can decommit, and by the way, I think that's got some negative connotations to it as a player. You don't necessarily want that. It's like leave a program. Like you feel like you're bouncing around. You haven't even gotten into a program. So I think decommitting is not necessarily a positive thing, and you probably don't want your name associated with that. But you're absolutely correct that the verbal commitment is a non-binding commitment. I think the younger that we do it, and you know, I just think there's just so much water that has to pass underneath the bridge yet that a lot of these young players don't realize that that's really a one-way street.
Well, I know parents and athletes are thinking, but I don't know what the future is. If I say no, then will I get another offer in the future? So I'm sure that's going on in their mind. What do you say to that? How should families respond when they're asked to make a verbal commitment?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're a good player, you're going to have opportunities. And so I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think how I'd respond if I were a parent would be that I would want to make sure that I have my options, you know, the schools that I have basically, you know, felt like they're a good fit for me. I would really research those schools. And I wouldn't be so impatient. Because, if you're talented, you're going to be able to have, when you have the option, you're going to have those options available to you in the future. And I think, it's a nice thing for a university or a program to get an early commitment so that they can know that or have a sense that they're going to have your talents with them 2, 3, 4 years down the line. But the things change there, too. Is there really a commitment when maybe that coach might not be there 4 years from now, 3 years from now? So, you know, I wouldn't worry so much about that. I think again, if you're looking at an institution, it's going to be more than the baseball end of it. So I wouldn't be so concerned there. And if you're a good player, you're going to find a place, you know, a place that you can you can land that's going to have the things that you want academically and athletically.
It's those early commitments that we read about. I know, especially like in basketball, you hear about this eighth grader that's made a verbal commitment, and the school's made a commitment to him or her, and that makes the headlines. But boy, we can't believe and shouldn't buy into the things that we're reading like that. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Well, I think that, you know, I think those things do come to fruition at times. But, you know, yes, I think in general sense, yeah, I think, again, it's a non-binding commitment. And so, you know, I don't know if I'm going to put all of my faith in something as non-binding.
Tom, let me ask, how do you find your recruits? That's a big question that parents and kids have is, you know, how do I get found? Well, how do you find the kids that you are recruiting?
You know, there's a network that you develop as a coach. And I think the longer you've been around, obviously, the greater the network. It also depends institutionally. Stanford is a whole different animal from, a California state school. And with that said, all of us recruit from, you know, various places. Word of mouth is important. Those networks, those people within your network, camps, showcases, the travel ball phenomenon is just in full swing. It's a big industry, and recommendations from previous players that might be out there in the community or in coaching now, but people that you trust, resources that you trust that are reliable, that have that know baseball, know talent, and have an idea of what's going on. That's when you go out and you can really, focus on certain individuals. But in general, we go to one-on-one encounters are critical, and so the camps, the showcases, being able to see kids play in person is key. A lot of times we get videos. The videos just tell a bit of a story, but the whole story it can't be told until you've seen somebody. In my opinion, in person playing on multiple occasions.
When you hear from an athlete who takes the initiative, and we really encourage athletes to step out, or they may not be found in the whole scheme of things, how do you like to be approached by an athlete?
Well, I think high school coaches, I think, play a really critical role here. Two reasons. One, usually they have a pretty good pulse on what the academic side is. How that student performs in the classroom. And they also have usually a pretty good pulse on how they are from a character and integrity standpoint, those aspects. But those ingredients are absolutely huge. Now, I think you have recently, and I think part of what you were talking about earlier about how things have changed over the last 10 years, I think the travel ball coach has felt a lot of pressure, and this is why I really like talking to high school coaches, but I think travel ball coaches have a lot of pressure on them to move players and try to move them into, the biggest programs that they possibly can at the Division I level, because I think it helps promote what they're trying to do. So, I get a little bit leery question a little bit from a travel ball coach until I've seen that person in, that student athlete in person, because I don't know if they have quite the same pulse on the academic side, quite the same pulse on the character side as a high school coach. So I tend to like to go to the high school coach. I will definitely talk to a travel ball coach, but I also take it with a grain of salt because I do know that there are different pressures there and different reasons why players, student athletes are recommended.
So high school coaches, I know, seems like in most cases they don't really have the time to present and market athletes and present them to college coaches. So do you come to those coaches, the high school coaches, do you initiate contact with them? Because to wait for the high school coach, you may never hear from them. You never may find the talent you're looking for.
High school coaches are you're going to have certain programs where you have coaches that do not, aren't very proactive in trying to get their players' names out there. But for my experience from the best programs is they do a good job. And when they do have a recommendation, they call. And if they call, my attention is going to be much greater. To that end, yes, of course we keep a dialogue with especially our area high school coaches. I think that's very, very important. And so with that dialogue, and again, talking about networking here, the high school coaches that tend to be around a lot, and we know that the high schools, they've had a bit of a revolving door, especially in the public schools, but those guys that are really proactive tend to get their players into institutions because they believe that, hey, this young man can play for you, et cetera. And I think if you have that need, and that's critical, John, I think parents and players need to understand, student-athletes need to understand that there has to be a need. It's not just because this kid is a great player. We may not have, for example, a catcher. We've got four catchers in our program, and a particular program might have a catcher that is a local kid, that really great kid academically, all those qualities that we're looking for, but we just don't have room. We just don't have that need. But we do dialogue with the high school coaches a lot, and it is best if we can get a high school coach to give us a call, travel ball coach to give us a call, and really point out why this young man might be a good fit for us.
Hmm. How can an athlete make a good first impression on you if they're the ones initiating the contact? What are the keys to making a good first impression? What kind of gets your interest?
When you decide on a college, you want to make a commitment that is going to, the commitment is a 40-year commitment, not a 4-year commitment, if you know what I mean by that. Because you will be known in social circles for the rest of your life. You're getting a degree from whatever university. You will be known in circles, and you will have social interaction with a lot of professionals, peer professionals in the future that are going to identify with that institution. But, again, to answer your question, I think the key is when you write an email, and or a letter, but, emails seem to, that's the mode of operation anymore. Those emails need to be addressed specifically to the coach or the recruiting coordinator. Recruiting coordinators are there for that reason. Their title is there for that reason. And so if you address it with, dear Coach Kunis, my name is so-and-so, and I have basically a resume-type format attached in that email with maybe some highlights of a video to kind of introduce yourself as a person, as a player, that's the best way to do it. If it is a generic email, I promise you, I will not look at it. I get 10 to 15 a day minimum, and I'm not the recruiting coordinator.
I was going to ask you how many you receive, and what do we encourage our kids to do is to make a good first impression and do things that will stand out. So I think you verified what I've taught families is you got to take that time, and as much as you can mention the coach by the coach's name and the institution by name, and personalize as much as possible. So that's great. My next question was, what's the wrong way to contact or approach a college coach? And so I think the answer part of that is, just sending blind emails that don't have any personalization to it, or blind letters. What are some other things to avoid when somebody, say, contacting you as a college coach?
The wrong way to do things is to try to go through mom and dad. Please don't do that. Be the mature human being that you need to be to show that you have those skills, those personal skills, those social skills, to be able to do things on your own. And shockingly enough, a lot of times, parents tend to want to, push for their children. It doesn't work well. That does not excite me because I'm not sure that person has enough skills to be able to handle the maturity that is required to be at a 4-year school and do the work and have those type of skills that are going to allow you to be successful.
Yeah, that ties into another question that I want to ask you is, what do you look for in a recruit outside his athletic talent?
Key to it is going to be the academics part, the academic piece is absolutely essential. You've got NC2A requirements that need to be satisfied, and by the way, John, you would be absolutely surprised how many kids a year out from graduating from high school that do not know about the NC2A clearinghouse, which is an absolute must. You must register with the NC2A clearinghouse. In there, and that website is fantastic, if you just go to it and kind of mull around, you will be able to find all of the necessary information to find out what is a qualifier and a non-qualifier. It's absolutely essential that kids get on the website, they register with the NC2A clearinghouse, and they understand that there are some rule changes. By the way, in 2016, the student athletes are required to have 16 core classes, but 10 of those completed by that seventh semester, that senior year. So by the end of the junior year, they need to have 10 core requirements completed by the end of that junior year. So that's a big deal for a lot of young men and women out there. So that'll be critical.
Let me give that website just for our listeners. It's eligibilitycenter.org. That's where you want to go, eligibilitycenter.org, and have all that information that Tom is talking about. And Tom, you're just talking about minimums. That's just NCAA, but then you get to the level of the institution, the requirements are even stiffer in most cases.
From institution to institution, it differs greatly on the admission.
Tell us, be honest with us about this one, that if you got an athlete that comes in just barely makes it or qualifies as far as the institution for admission, or maybe it's just below, I mean, somebody's right on the edge, right on borderline. A lot of athletes feel that a coach can get them in, despite poor grades and despite just barely being on the edge. From your perspective, tell us the truth. Is that true? Is this the case, or what?
Admission sets a standard, and if that standard is not met, I don't care what coach it is, you are not going to get that person into that university. So that is a misconception. If there is a standard to be met, that standard must be met. Now, again, they differ depending on the institution that you're applying to, but those standards, and it's very, very difficult to talk to anybody in admissions to see if you can somehow get somebody, he's borderline, and you make a case for it. But my experience says that that does not happen. It's very, okay, very difficult to have somebody who might be on borderline. It would have to be a very, very unusual circumstance to have that happen. But no, coaches are not going to be able to get kids in that don't meet the minimum standard. Won't happen.
So academics, that's a huge piece. The athletics, of course, plus academics. So what else do you look for in a recruit in addition to those things?
Character and integrity, I think, are really huge. Why? Because you have to trust that the teams that we've been on, that I've been on, that succeeded at a very high level, had an incredible number of young men that were of very high character. You don't have to worry about them. They work. They have great work ethic. They have tremendous time management skills. They are driven. Those are really key characteristics for a person of 18 to 21 years old, 22 years old, and trying to move a team or a group of people into the highest levels of competition, and whether it's academically or athletically. Mm. You really... It makes things so much nicer to be around, but it's almost imperative that those characteristics are intact, because you really have a hard time getting there without it. And the character, the integrity part of it is so big as an ambassador to a university or an institution or a program, you as an ambassador, and we know this from being out there in the news, if you are a student athlete, a coach, anybody associated with an athletics program, you are held at a higher standard. If something happens negatively outside of the arena or the court, whatever environment that you play in as an athlete, if something negative happens, it will be front page news. That same thing happens to a student that is not in an athletics program or sport. It's on the back page at best. So the standard that student athletes are held at is so much higher that it's so important for coaches to recruit young men and young women of high character and integrity. You know, when your back's turned, do they still do the right thing and do the good thing? Does that happen? And so that's a hard piece for coaches to figure out. And when they're doing the recruiting aspect to it, you have to really spend some time talking to a lot of people.
Do you look at Facebook accounts on some of these athletes?
You know, we do. We have access to it. We get their accounts. We have the Twitter accounts, those type of things. We absolutely do, because they're going to tell us a lot. And unfortunately, they at times will tell us things that we don't necessarily want to hear or see, but I think it's imperative that we, if we're going to grow people as individuals, that I think it's important that we help them. And in social media is one of the tools out there that'll give us greater insight into the individual. So yes, we do.
Tom, just one more question. I know you got to go, but what one piece of advice can you give to parents when it comes to recruiting? And his part B of it is, what one piece of advice could you give athletes as we close here?
Research and investigate the schools that you are truly interested in attending. Your young person, that student athlete, is interested in attending. And then I would do everything in my power to go physically, tour that campus. Go visit with those coaches. Let them know who you are and what have you. And research and investigate. And I think, John, the last point I'll make here, do not make that decision on scholarship money. One institution, you've got an offer, and another institution, you've got an offer, and the one that you really want to go to, maybe not as high as a dollar value, and the other one is a higher dollar value, but this is the one I want to go to with the lower dollar value. I would highly recommend that you triple check yourself on that. I would not necessarily make that decision based on money.
Yeah. Good. It's the good fit. It's the best fit that you want in dollars. That's only a piece of the equation.
Yes, sir.
Tom Kunis has been with us and been recruiting athletes into college for over 20 years. And boy, he knows the score, as you just heard. Tom, thanks again.
My pleasure, John.
Great insights from Tom Kunis. And if you didn't catch it, as I introduced the interview, Tom has been at some of the top baseball programs in the nation, including Stanford and Cal Poly. Over 50 of his athletes have been drafted and moved on to professional baseball. I'll tell you, you caught from him that he really cares about the kids that he has coached over the years. So hopefully you got a lot out of this. Again, pass this interview on to your friends. In each episode, I take a question from a listener, and Here's a question I got in that I want to address. If you have a question, go ahead and email me at john@recruitme.com, and I answer one or even maybe two or three during each podcast. Here it is. The setup is this. My son is a sophomore varsity football player, and he's been since he was a freshman. So I think my biggest question is, in which year of high school should the initial contact letters be sent out or contact emails? Is it better to wait until he has a lot of stats under his belt, or make the contact early anyway with update letters going out often? I was wondering if there was a suggested timeline of what the players should do each step of the recruiting process and when. So that question is really loaded. First thing I want to address is when to start. When do you start contacting coaches? My strong recommendation is wait till sophomore year. Freshman year is really an opportunity to do research. Tom mentioned research in the interview. And this is really cool because there's no pressure in your freshman year. And you can start visiting some schools. It's not like you're going to go crazy on this, but maybe visit a couple schools so your kid can understand what it's like on a college campus. I don't know if that'll scare them away, but anyway, just start early, ease into it, do the research, go online, also research programs and schools that way. Start building your prospect list of schools in the freshman year. Then start in sophomore year, start contacting the schools. And here's, as this parent asked, should he have more stats under his belt? Well, this player is already playing varsity football, so it's got varsity stats, and that's really what you want. That's the ideal thing. The coaches are going to look at your varsity stats, so when you hit varsity, that's really key in the way of sending out the stats. Although if you're contacting schools early, like in sophomore year, you'll have to send out, say, the JV stats, unless you're already playing varsity like this athlete is. So I would say for you who asked this question, yes, go ahead and send out the information now. You've got the stats. For everybody else who may not have varsity experience, I would still say sophomore year, begin contacting schools. And you'll get coaches that will respond back to you, maybe some camp opportunities that you can choose from. Maybe pick one camp in sophomore or early junior year that you want to go to. So that's important, that in sophomore year you start initiating the contact. Coaches are not going to show a whole lot of interest until your junior year. So that's kind of the sweet spot where you want to make sure you're getting that information out in your junior year. All the stats, if you've already contacted coaches, send out updates. But junior year is really key, and that's where they do a lot of their recruiting, and then again into senior year. In senior year, if you're just getting started, yeah, you got to compress all this. You're going to have to really hit it hard on contacting schools. And coaches will get back to you, but, man, you got to really get moving. I mean, if you're in your senior year right now, as you listen to this in December 2015, then you have really – don't waste a day. I mean, you got to do your research, get the letters out, get the emails out, start the conversation with coaches. Senior year is really important, and it'd be best if you've already done some work in your junior year, even sophomore year, in building relationships with the coaches. So what I'm saying here is, yes, you can start in your sophomore year. You're not going to get a whole lot of interaction with coaches, but you'll be able to begin the relationship. Then moving into your junior, it's a next notch up, a next step, a little more intense there, but you got the relationships going. You know which coaches and schools and programs are interested in you, so you can then develop those relationships further. So I hope that helps. Again, if you have a question, go ahead and email me, john@recruit-me.com, and make sure you visit the website for any of the resources that you don't have already. Read the blog. Make sure you get back on that every week. I post on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. We've got the free mini course. You got to enroll in that if you haven't already. And also be looking for the Facebook group, which will be debuting real soon, providing the tools for you. And again, if you'd like to become a RecruitMe premium member, go to the website, recruitme.com, and click the next step. And that would be the next step. If you're ready to go and you want to hit this hard and have all the resources and materials that I have to offer to you, I encourage you to do that. And, of course, make sure you're here for the next episode of the Athletic Scholarship Podcast. Please review me on iTunes. I want to hear. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Give me 1 star, 5 stars, whatever you want to do, and leave some comments there. And let me know what you think of the podcast. I'm looking to refine it as I go along. Want to know what clicks with you and what I need to do to improve this. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes so you can get the podcast, which I release a couple times a month. And soon as it's released, if you're a subscriber on iTunes, you'll get that notification. It'll be ready to go. And again, ask your question, john@recruitme.com. Well, we're in the midst of getting this Christmas season rolling here, aren't we? You're busy. Your schedule is tight. If you're an athlete and this is your season, then you're probably getting some tournaments going here as Christmas approaches. But remember, recruiting is year-round, and continue to do what you can a little bit each week in making progress in recruiting towards that athletic scholarship. It's a consistent effort. So take care, and we'll talk to you next time.